I am a huge fan of any time we get to jump into a message series that's very practical. From time to time, we jump into message series that are about ideas and concepts about who God is and his character, and get to know who he is better. But for me, I love it when we get to take these ideas about who God is and what he's all about and thoughts that we've heard, and then get to look at some very real and relevant things about how those then apply to our lives. Love looking at God, and as a pastor, I get even more motivated when we look at how that begins to impact who we are. And so this morning, we jump into a new message series that's all about that, and it's called Breathing Room. And I could just tell you what Breathing Room is going to be all about, but I want to attempt to show you what Breathing Room looks like and what this message series is all about. So I'm going to invite my son Colby to the stage. Colby has a very difficult task at hand, because this morning Colby is going to be working to earn all of you chocolate. Ah! You think take your son to work day is stressful for your kids. See, he comes to work, and if he fails, you all get mad at him. So, if you guys will go ahead and bring out the supplies. So what's going to happen here is Colby is going to need to take some water that's going to be in this container here, and he's going to put it into this pitcher. And then he's going to put the water in the pitcher, and he needs to take it across the stage or across the floor over to this other table. And inside of this, on this other table, is going to be another container. And this container has a bunch of different lines on it. You can back it up. Let's not make it too easy. Perfect. And on this container, that's great. Thank you, Joe. On this container, oh yeah. On this container right here, it says 4 quarts. And so Colby needs to get this container to 4 quarts of water. And once he gets that done, all of you get chocolate. Now, there's a couple rules for you, Colby. The people in this room are going to tell you how much water to put into your container. You just pull that little lever down, and when they're happy with the what, you guys can kind of be like, oh, stop, okay, right there, okay? And then, Colby, once you get the water in the container, you need to take that container, and you don't have to balance, but I want you to hold it on your head, okay? And then you're going to walk with it on your head, and you're going to walk over to this container, and you're going to pour it in there, okay? You guys get chocolate if no water spills out of the container onto your head. Okay, so you guys need to talk to him about how much water he should put in there. So, Colby, go ahead and start adding water. And you guys tell him when you think he should stop. Guy, I put like 2 minutes in this illustration. That's all I... Tell him when to stop. Tell him when to stop. Okay, there you go. Okay, you're halfway. Okay, on your head. You don't have to balance it, but you do... Wait, you guys should tell him if he's got it tipping at all. Ah, there you go. There you go. Okay, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. Okay. Now, if he drops any on the transfer, we're gonna give him a we'll give him a break on that. All right. There we go. How we're good and good. Wow. Okay. Big round of applause. He's on his way. All right. Here we go. We're gonna keep going. Let's talk to him a little bit on this one. Here he goes. He's starting to fill it up. Front row, if you can see. He's about a quarter of the way, and he's closing in on half. Okay. There you go. Now, get it on top of your head. Okay, doing good, doing good, doing good, doing good. All right, hey, this is looking good. Sadly, it's going way too easy, so go ahead and go back. We're going to bring out a couple obstacles for you. Okay, go ahead and start. We're just, you guys can talk to him a little bit about how he should do it here. Got to weave those. Nice, nice. That'll work out well in your flag football game next week. We're getting close. Okay. Still too easy. Do we have one more obstacle? Okay, it looks like you're going to have to go over this step. Let's put it right close to this. Yeah, there you go, so we can't avoid it. Okay, he's got to go up and over these stairs now. Oh, whoa, 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 go back, cheater. All right, is he good? Good? Here we go, here we go, here we go. Oh, boy, he's got to go up these stairs. Nice, nice, nice. Oh, he's so close. He needs another one. Oh, boy. Here we go, here we go. I think he's going to get it. You guys ready with chocolate back there? these people want their chocolate, Colby. Okay, don't mess it up here. Here we go. Hey! Gentlemen, chocolate them. Give them their chocolate. Here we go. Good work. All right, you can sit down. There it is. The line reached it. You all get chocolate. Very nice. Very good job, Colby. Now, he did this. He managed to make it across. And as you eat your chocolate, and as you think about what a wonderful young man Colby is, as we watch this process, right, as you saw the water container fill up, and you saw it go across the stage, and you saw the obstacles get added, and you saw it make it across, we all understand the concept of this message series. You all get it. But it doesn't always make it into our lives. And what I hope we get from this next couple of weeks, over these next 4 weeks, I hope that we begin to understand that life is better with breathing room. Colby was able to move the water across the stage or across the room, and when the water wasn't all the way to the very top, it reduced his chances of spilling. Right? When there was some room for him to move, when there was some room for him to adjust around the obstacles, he didn't lose it. When there were hurdles and when there were bumps along the way, because the water wasn't to the very, 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 very top, he was able to ride the highs and he was able to ride the lows, and life was better, and you're all enjoying chocolate because there was room in the container. Your life, my life, will be better when there's breathing room. Now, clearly, we're not all running around in our lives with pitchers of water on our head. So what does that look like? What is that? What are we talking about? What does breathing room look like? Breathing room is not having to drive 15 miles per hour over the speed limit everywhere you go because you're always late. Breathing room is actually having time to talk with your family. Breathing room is being able to sit down and eat dinner around the table. Breathing room is being able to get to the end of the month and still have money in your account. Breathing room is actually being able to enjoy the things that you're doing because you're not doing all of the things that you could and you're not trying to do everything that everybody else is doing. Breathing room is being able to show up at the Connect group that you're about to sign up with. Breathing room is being able to sign up for your Connect group and show up for your Connect group and actually being able to concentrate on what other people are talking about because you're not so distracted about everything that you haven't got to and that you're waiting to get done. Breathing room is being able to come to church and listen this morning or jump online and listen to any message that you've missed and being able to actually focus on what's being said. Breathing room is being able to take some time, sit down and pray, and pay attention to the thoughts and concerns that are on your heart because you're not so distracted about your schedule and all of the things that you've crammed into your life. And so life gets better when there's breathing room. And I don't think I need to convince you of that. Life is better when there's breathing room. And so we're going to talk about this idea. And I want to give you a little bit of a definition so we have some clarity for what it is that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks and what breathing room is. So for the next couple weeks, we need to understand that breathing room is this. Breathing room is the space between our current pace and our limits. Breathing room is the space or the distance between your current pace of financial spending and the pace of your and the actual limits of your dollars. That's the breathing room. Breathing room is the space or the distance between your pace with your schedule and how fast you're going, and your actual limits. The breathing room is the pace or the distance or the gap that you give yourself and all of your relational responsibilities and how you push those and the limits that you actually have. And those are the three areas that we're going to keep coming back to over and over the next couple weeks. Our dollars, our relationships, and our schedules, because that's where we need breathing room most. And it's so hard, it's so difficult to manage those. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to keep coming back to this idea of the space between your current limits of your dollars and what you've got, and how fast we're spending money, and how we're relating to people, and living within those limits. And looking at those and beginning to evaluate how we live within those. And maybe as you begin to hear this, our minds, we want to argue with this concept. We want to say, no, I'm okay. Because we like to think we aren't anywhere close to our capacity. That we got lots of extra room, right? Because you didn't have to speed to church, right? You got here on time, or you just came in the second song, right? Like, right? We think we have space. We think we haven't reached our limits. We think we haven't hit our breaking point. We think we're not spilling water on our head. And maybe you're not. But some point, you're going to reach a point where you can't cram more in. Because every single one of us, we have our limits. You may have extraordinary capacity. You might be able to handle a lot more than I can handle. You might have three times more than everybody else you know, more than people that are around you or in your family. But every single one of us, we have limits. There's limits to our schedule. There's limits to our dollars. There are limits to our ability to relate and develop relationships and which ones we can invest in. And if in our life we reach those limits, and we're at the brink of those, and there's no breathing room, maybe you can keep it together and not lose it. Not likely. Because when the pace hits the limits, we lose it. And if we don't lose it, we quit enjoying life. Because when there's no space, when there's no room for chocolate. There's no room for relaxing at a barbecue. There's no room to sit and enjoy a sunset. There's no room to sit and hear your grandparents tell you a story that they've told you 10 times before. But there's no room for it. There's no room when you hear about needs or you hear about something that's going on, you hear about a problem, there's no room in your finances to give towards that. And you're like, I want to give, but there's no space. There's no space to sit and have a tea party with your daughter. And when our current pace reaches the limits, life becomes less enjoyable. And I'm convinced that breathing room works whether you go to church or whether you don't go to church. I'm convinced that breathing room matters whether you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. I'm convinced that breathing room matters whether you read the Bible or whether you don't care at all what it says. Breathing room impacts our lives, and whether or not we have it will determine whether or not our life is as enjoyable as it could possibly be. So in order for us to get a better idea about what breathing room looks like, I think we need to talk about what life looks like without breathing room. Because when there is no breathing room, there are three things that happen. Think about your life for just a second. With no breathing room. Think about your life, right? Okay, let's, rather than all of us feeling bad about ourselves, let's think about our friend. Right? Your friend. This happens as a pastor all the time. You've got people come up, they're like, so I want to tell you about my friend. It's you, right? Okay, so your friend, if you ever tell me you want to talk to me about your friend, I know it's you. Okay, your friend, their life, they don't have any breathing room, okay? They're living right up to the limit. They're right at the edge. And you're watching your friend, and they're coming up to in life, and all of a sudden they come up to a little hiccup, or a little bump, or a little obstacle, and there's no space, there's no room, there's no breathing room. The first thing that happens when there's no breathing room is that the stress levels go up. Very simple. We all know that awful feeling when we're in the car and we're late for work. Right? Or we're late for a meeting, or we're late for an appointment. It's something important, and we're in our car, and there's no time, and we're watching the clock, and we're like, oh, it's counting down, right? Okay, now the minutes. Oh, now the hours. Oh, goodness. Oh, and there's that stress just starts to build, and the time is running out, and you're counting, and you're like, oh, I hope my clock is fast, and oh, goodness, you know, and you're like, we're going to be later, and traffic's getting worse, and it's not moving, and all of a sudden, we're at a stoplight, and we're mad at the people in front of us, like, you could have made that yellow light! I was right with you. We could have both gotten through, right? And it's like, ugh. And maybe there's an accident on the road, or maybe you got a late start, or your kids needed something, or your dog puked, or your husband wanted to talk, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're late, and there's just stress, because there was no breathing room, and time has run out, and the stress is building up, and you're like, ah! It's true in every area. When there's no breathing room, the stress level rises. When there's no breathing room relationally, when there's no room for a wrong word, because that wrong word just sends it over the top. Or there's no room for a wrong look or a misunderstood request. There's just no room for it. Or there's no room financially. Like, oh no, another bill. We weren't expecting that. When there's no, oh goodness, oh, the church, they're doing this thing for Charity Water or El Salvador. And I want to help, but I can't. And the stress just rises. The stress levels go up when there's no breathing room. Another thing that happens when there's no breathing room is our focus narrows. When there's no breathing room, our tendency is all of our focus goes right on that area where there's no margin for error, and then we're all focused right there. We seem to lose awareness of everything else that's going on around us, and all of our focus is right there. Maybe this has happened to you. Have you ever been walking with your family or whatever, and you're at a park, and you're walking along or the beach, and you come up to a log. And the log is on the ground, and it's a nice big long log, and maybe it's like 2 feet in diameter or whatever. You're like, oh, I can totally walk this thing. I do this all the time. So there's this log, and I'm like, oh, I can walk on this thing, no problem at all. So you jump on top of the log. You're not worried at all about falling to the ground because the ground's right there, right? And so you're just like walking on the log, not worried about it, not worried about stepping off. I got breathing room, right? I got space. If I make a mistake, I just step off. I don't even think about it. Just walking along, maybe my kids are there, we're talking about it. My boys and I will throw a football while we're walking on the log. No problem, we're just walking across the log. You know, maybe even do a little twist, like an Olympian or whatever. You know, probably would have fallen right there. But whatever, you know, I'm good, I could have fallen. Take that same log, move it to a ravine. Put it 15 feet in the air across the river. You're like, all of my focus is on the log. Right? And now suddenly this log that was so easy to balance on, now it's all right here and there's no space to think about anything. I can't make a mistake. I can barely move forward. I'm totally focused on this log. Somebody talks to me like, hey, watch it. Shut up. Don't talk to me. Right? Like, stop breathing. I can feel the wind. Right? It's like all I can focus on is this log. There's no breathing room. There's no room for a mistake. And there's times in life, I get it. There's times where we have to focus. Where we have to concentrate on something. Maybe it's a task or an idea or a project, or maybe there's a habit or a discipline you're working on, and we focus on it. But if we don't ever step back, if we don't ever create gaps, if there's not moments of where we're not intensely focused on things, if we don't get back from that, what ends up happening is we focus so much on this thing that's got no room for error that we stop focusing on the areas that actually matter most. Because we're so worried about falling off the log that we forget about everything else that's going around us. Which brings us to the last thing that happens when there's no breathing room, and that's that relationships suffer. Mom's always on the phone, or dad's always on the computer. Seems like all that we ever talk about is money, and we don't have enough money, and that's what we seem to always argue about, and how are we going to pay this bill, and where are we going to move this, and you can't have that, and we can't... You feel like you're doing a whole lot of things, but you're not really enjoying the things that you're doing. You don't seem to get along. Don't seem to like each other. Nobody really wants to be at home. Everybody wants to get away. Don't really want to talk. When you do talk, it's usually a fight. Everybody's like, hey, let's bring out our calendar and let's see what we can do. And everybody's like, oh goodness, this is always so frustrating. Can't seem to find a time to do this or that because we're so busy. We can never make room for the things that we really want to do. We don't have time to do these things. We have so much. We're so busy trying to manage life and deal with relationships. We never actually just enjoy life and build those relationships. And so the relationships suffer. This isn't a religious thing. This isn't a Christian thing. I mean, we can see it in other people. We watch other people's lives and we're like, change that. You don't have to go so fast. You don't have to spend so much money. You don't have to do it that way. We see it in other people's lives and we just create some room. But the reality is most of us live there. The reality is most of us don't have breathing room. And if that's the reality for most of us, we should probably determine what's the cause of our frantic, exhausting, unfulfilled lives. What is it that pushes us to that? So let's take a minute and see what it is. And I would say that the primary reason we don't have breathing room is fear. If we can begin to understand that the underlying drive behind our behavior of how we spend, how we lack relationships, how we tend to be so efficient with every moment of our day and squeeze everything in. I think we're not very willing to embrace this, but the driver behind all of this, that we won't be able to make any progress at creating breathing room until we're willing to accept it. But I would suggest that the biggest part that drives our schedules and drives our spending and drives our relational mess-ups, it's fear. Let's approach it this way. What if I were to say to you, hey, why don't you stop a little bit? Why don't you just say no to that? Well, why don't you just back down a little bit from the pace that you're running at or the things that you're buying or the things that you need to do or the helps that you need? My guess is that a lot of times you would start the sentence, well, if I did, I'm afraid that, I mean, if we were to back off, I'm afraid that we wouldn't get to, I'm afraid that if we did that, if we told our kids they couldn't have that, I'm afraid that our kids would miss out on that. I'm afraid that if we told our daughter that she can do this, but she can't do this and she can't do this and I can't, we're afraid that we tend to answer that statement with, if we cut these things out, we're afraid. And we just allow fear to generate what we do and how we respond. And none of us want to live fearful lives. I mean, none of us are sitting around being like, I'd really love to be afraid of some things. Right? We don't want to be afraid. It's hard to admit that it's fear that's motivating it. But it's fear that drives our activities. It's fear that drives our spending. It's fear that tends to drive these relationshipless lives. And there's two ways that we can look at fear. One way is positive. The positive side of this fear is that we have the fear of missing out, right? There's good things that we don't want to miss out on. We fear for our kids that they're going to miss out if they don't do everything. And if we don't provide them the opportunity to do everything, they're going to miss out. We fear that if we don't give our kids everything they need to be successful and provide them every opportunity, and there were some things that I wanted as a kid, and if we don't provide, they're going to miss out on it. We fear that somehow we're just going to miss out. And maybe you're single and you're fearful, like, I'm going to miss out. If I don't find that person, I'm going to miss out on getting married and having kids, and I'm going to miss out. We want to have enough money because we want to be able to go on vacation because we fear we're going to miss out on making memories, having those pictures or whatever it is. So we don't want to say no to anything. If somebody invites us to hang out, we don't want to say no because we fear we're going to miss it. Somebody says, want to help with this? We're like, I don't want to miss out. I better get there. There's an event going on. We better get there. We don't want to miss out. If we're honest, it's fear for why we have to go. It's fear for why we say yes. It's fear that makes us to sign up for all of it. I mean, if I don't, I will miss out. And it's good stuff sometimes. But because it's fear, we just keep adding and doing. And, blah, 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 blah. And it's fear, and it takes up all of the breathing room because we're worried we're going to miss out. And it's good stuff. But there's no breathing room. There's the negative side, or the negative approach to this fear idea. And on the negative side, it's the fear of falling behind. This totally reveals this whole comparison trap thing that happens where we look around at everybody else and what everybody else is doing, what everybody else has accomplished and how they're going, and we begin to compare and we're like, oh man, how they're living and what they're driving and where they're going on vacation and what they're wearing and how they're spending and what they're doing with their time. Oh my goodness, we're falling behind. We're so far behind. Do you know how much retirement they have? Oh, I'm so far behind. Oh, their kids are so prepared for college. Oh, we're so falling behind. I've had this car for so many years, and this iPhone, oh goodness, it's a 5. Right? And it's my carpet and my computer or whatever. We're falling behind. Everyone else has got a newer, faster, smoother one. We're falling behind. Maybe it's an experience or something you want to accomplish, right? I should be the manager by now. I'm falling behind. I should be running this place. Wow, my kids, they're falling behind. I should have more education by now. I got falling behind. Should have seen the world by now. We should have gone places. We should have seen more shows. I should have tasted more food. I'm falling behind. I should have gone there. I should have done that. I should have made that happen. We're falling behind. And so as a result, we feel like we need to spend more. We need to work longer. We need to give up on some relationships and push these things aside and make more things in our calendar. And we want to make sure all these things happen because we don't want to fall behind. Now, I'm not sure who we're comparing ourselves to. We'll always find somebody that we're falling behind, right? But Bill Gates and Paul Allen are alive. You and I will always be behind. So we fear that we're falling behind. Now, one last thing I want to look at, and this, just talk to the men in the room about something that happens here for us. And I'm not brave enough to talk to the ladies about what you feel, but gentlemen, something that we fear. Something that we fear that pushes us to work longer and stay late and buy stuff and shine it all up and not have any breathing room. And what we suffer from is the fear of not mattering. The fear of lacking significance. Because I know in me, I want my life to count. I mean, when I'm gone, I want somebody to miss me. I want there to be a void and people be like, oh man. I want there to be something that shows that I accomplished something. I mean, and in our church, we've got a lot of progress-oriented individuals, leaders, people that want to see change, people that want to make progress, people that want to be able to look at their to-do list and be like, oh, check and check and check and check. Oh, baby, these goals and these objectives, I am knocking them off. And we want to be able to look back and say, look at what all that I've done. I wasn't just taking up space. I did something. And so we have this fear, men, of insecurity. And there's this fear that we won't matter. We're afraid that our time will be for nothing. And so we utilize busyness and doing things and spending things and buying things and getting more things. And we get all of those things mixed up with how much we matter. And over the next couple weeks, one of the things that we're going to keep coming back with is dealing with this fear of not mattering. Because the fear of not mattering, or the fear of falling behind, or the fear of missing out, those things draw us away from the things that actually matter most. Because we fear not mattering, and so we want to accomplish it, and we want to make sure that somebody knows who we are, and we want to make our mark, but we fear that we don't get, or we're not going to matter. And it has the potential to get all of our attention and then draw us away from the things that matter most. Now, here's what's interesting, especially if you're a person that reads the Bible. Like if you know, some of you have a Jewish background or you're a Christian background, and so you've been in the scripture and you know what the Bible says, and maybe this morning you're here and you're like, I don't really care what the Bible says. But within the Bible, there are some very incredible things that God says about this. God speaks to this issue in some unusual ways. I mean, when we look in the Bible, there's no time that it ever says, find breathing room. That's my God voice. It's the best I can do. He never says that. But what we do find throughout Scripture is an ongoing conversation between God and people where he's saying in very practical ways, your fear and your faith is keeping you from living a life that's highly enjoyable. And what we discover as we look at these conversations is God saying, listen, if you don't create breathing room, you're not going to enjoy life. And the breathing room that you're not creating is being caused by fear, which is generated by a lack of faith. And this morning, I went way too long. So we're going to fly through some scripture that we didn't get to really look at a whole lot anyway. We don't get to dig into it a whole lot. And really this morning, honestly, I'm just trying to tease you to come back for the next 3 weeks anyway. So. But in the Old Testament, God gave some people some instructions on how to harvest. How to Harvest, where it shows us what breathing room, or that we need breathing room. In the book of Leviticus, which is the fourth book in the Bible, this is what God says. It's on the screen. It's in your message notes. God says this: when you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your field. Do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. You know what? If I'm a farmer, if I got a field, I'm going to the edge. I'm circling back around and I'm getting the extra stuff. I'm going to grab that grapevine and I'm shaking it till every last grape falls into the bucket. You should see me at Qdoba. You know how Qdoba works? Like, you go through the line and they're putting the stuff on, and literally every time, like, about the last thing they put on is the steak. They got the spoon, and literally they'll pour it on, and every single time, at least one, maybe two of the little cubes of steak hits the rice, and then it rolls, and I'm watching, and it's going towards the edge and then over the edge, and I'm like, oh my goodness, did they not see that piece of steak that just fell? I mean, I want to get to the edge. I want every little piece that's coming to me. Right? And God's like, don't worry about going to the edge. You know, don't worry about circling back around. You know, don't worry about going after every single grape. Because when you don't do that, when you don't worry about, you're going to create some breathing room. But it requires faith that God's going to make up the difference. Because that was a resource to the edge. That's a resource left on the ground. That little piece of steak matters. And God's like, just relax, I got it. That's why he says, remember, I'm the Lord your God. I'm going to make it okay. You're not going to starve from that little piece of steak. You'll still make it if you don't go all the way to the edge. In fact, that breathing room, it's so worth it. I will make up the difference and your life will be better. Just let it go. If you ever get frustrated with God because you're like, he's got so many rules, there's a rule that I think will swing you back towards liking God more. When God says, hey, you know what? You should take a break. Take a day off. This is another thing he says in Exodus. He says, remember to observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. By keeping it holy, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. We hear that and we're a little bit like, well, I got 2 days off already, right? Most of us have two. Well, a lot of us have 2 days off on the weekend. So we're like, okay, one day, God, you're not so great. But imagine, in this culture, they don't have refrigerators. So taking a day off is literally deadly. Like, all of their food could go bad. Their kids are going to be hungry if they haven't prepared, and their kids could get sick, their kids could have problems, they're going to be like, Dad, I'm hungry all day. You know that? Just listen to that alone, right? Like, God, how am I going to take a day off? I got a teenage boy, two of them. I mean, holy cow. Right? And then if I do take a day off, I'm going to be scrambling on Monday to catch up. God, how is this going to work? A day of rest? What? God says, create some breathing room. Just take a day. Don't worry about pushing ahead. Don't stress about staying on top. Don't worry about getting everything done. You can let those go. Just take a rest. Create some breathing room. And then it says, do this in dedication to the Lord your God. Which is saying, I'm going to rest knowing and trusting that he's going to make up the difference. Because if I don't work at all, if I don't get it all done, how's it all going to get done? It's saying, okay, I'm going to trust that God will do it. That the work that wasn't done, God will make up the difference. The food that wasn't prepared, God will make up the difference. The meeting that wasn't attended, God will make up the difference. God will make it up. And it takes faith that he'll be enough. Okay, save this till the end and you're all going to hate me. But what about the dollars that we all know are so valuable? This is what God says. He said, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. If you and I spend every single dollar and every single penny, then there's no way that we can ever help others that are in need. There's no way you'll ever want to cheerfully support what God is doing through his church. Because we will literally cry in fear with every single dollar that we give. We're like, oh, I got a bill coming. Oh, I can't be cheerful. I've got obligations. Like, every single dollar I've got, it's already got a job and it's all at my house. right? I got to buy this next thing or pay for that other thing that I've already got. How can I possibly give? I can't do it cheerfully for goodness sake. All those dollars already have a job at my house. And we're afraid to actually give them. And the only way that you and I can ever give cheerfully or help others is when we create breathing room with how we spend. And when we create that breathing room and those things that we can't buy now because we've created that, we have to be like, okay, God, you're going to have to make up the difference here. But life will become more enjoyable when there's time to spare. And when you and I aren't scrambling to get everything done. And when there's dollars in our lives that we can use to benefit other people or other things that are in need. Or we're not scrambling at the end of the month to just figure out how we're going to get it paid. And we've created room to let those relationships grow. And none of those things can happen unless we create breathing room. None of those things can happen until we push away the fear and have faith that God will make up the difference. And you can come to church and I can never make that happen in your life. And God can never make that happen in your life. Because the truth is this, something or someone is going to determine the pace that you live by. And that is you. You determine the pace you live by. Work's making me work. No, work's not making you do anything. You determine it. The school's got more No. You establish the breathing room in your life. You're going to have to make that decision. You're going to have to set that pace for what you spend and how you live and the schedule that you set and the relationships that you pursue. And my hope is that you join us for the next 3 weeks and we'll continue to talk about how we can make that happen in our lives. Again, every week, if you've been here, you know that on the back of these Connect cards, we challenge you to think through some next steps. To think for yourself, what are you going to do with this as you've heard this, if you're considering this? How are you going to respond? So maybe for you this morning, your next step is to recall the last time you were living at a pace that wasn't close to your limits. Maybe you need to identify the fear that prevents you from having breathing room. Maybe you need to determine the area of your life where you most need breathing room. As you look back over the last year, how much breathing room did you have in your schedule and in your relationships and in your finances? Band's going to come and play one last song for you. What is your next step? As you think about this idea of creating breathing room and the fear that so oftentimes just pushes us to try and do so much. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for the way that you move us in life in an effort to help us enjoy life more. You've created this life. You desire for us to experience it to the fullest. Would you help us to trust you to begin to pursue this idea of creating breathing room in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.